Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
Record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, new week, Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in very, very chilly Oak Grove. Bob Kelly and Dima, opening segment of our show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. A great place to eat a hot meal tonight. A great place to cater your next event, whether it be for your church, maybe your office, or your family. They do a great job of catering at Dickey's, and we appreciate all that they do for us. Scott Watkins is going to join us here momentarily from the Biloxi Sun-Herald on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. A weekend of more basketball disappointment. The men lose 70. Well, let me check this. Here we are. The men lose 74, was it 74?
71.
They got 74-41 for some reason. I didn't think that was right. 74-71, the women, meanwhile, lose badly by 20 points to the Mountaineers of Appalachian State. That game was here in Hattiesburg. Before we go to Scott, real quick around the horn, guys, your thoughts, this basketball team. Let's talk about the men's team. Struggling, Dima, and they just don't seem to have any inside presence. They had two more starters not play Saturday, and it's beginning to turn into a challenging season.
Yeah, I mean, I actually didn't think they played all that horrible on Saturday. It's just you have to be better in the paint, as you just said, and I don't have the stats in front of me. I think Kelly does, but they were just bodied in the paint all day, it seemed. But it was a very competitive game, but, I mean, Old Dominion isn't really that good at it by any means, but I thought they looked better at least than they did on Thursday night when they played on the road on that game. And as far as the women's, I think the off-the-court issues, as has been the problem the past couple of years, is really coming in to hurt that program, and I just don't know how you recover from it from a mental standpoint. I mean, I played basketball all throughout high school, and I know there was a period where my head coach went through some personal things and some other people around, and they had to step away from the team during part of the season, and it was hard for us to even get on the floor. You know, so I just know that basketball is such a mental game that I really would put that mostly the answer to why the women have struggled so much.
Well, it could be your lack of talent kept you from getting on the
floor.
Hey, I
dropped 46 on senior night, all right? Okay. 46.
But the Eagles are doing some good things. I mean, they are, and we'll talk about it more later, but I mean, they're spreading the ball around scoring-wise, but the bottom line is it's not translating into wins.
Right.
They have never been able to win on the road this year, and they're losing to teams that really, as Dima had mentioned, aren't that strong. So if you can't defeat weak teams on the road, it's going to be tough to beat good teams at your place.
Right.
Scott Watkins covers the Sun Belt Conference, Southern Miss, and all things related for a living. Biloxi Sun-Herald, always glad to have him on the show. Happy New Year to you, Scott. And Scott, as I look at the Sun Belt Men's Basketball League, I looked at the standings this morning. You've got 10 teams with losing records and only 4 with winning records. This is not turning into a stellar basketball season for the Sun Belt.
No, absolutely not. It's so wild to see because I think it was either opening night or that first week, the Sun Belt was, what, like 9-1 against the MAC in the first part of that challenge. And it's just been way downhill ever since. I mean, this league is not good. This is the worst that I have seen it since I've been covering.
Is that right? Who did we think was going to be pretty good that's turning out not to be so great?
That's a great question, because a lot of these teams, I think you kind of expected a kind of a downfall. Louisiana maybe might be the biggest surprise with Bob Marlin out and that really, really, really rough start that they were off to. Also, the timing of that firing was kind of weird because they won their conference opener and then they let him go. But they've the fact that they're like right there in the middle at a 4-11 record, I mean, that kind of shows you where the league is at right now.
But Scott, realistically, how can anybody tell what any league is going to be like now because of all the transfer portal and NIL deals?
Yeah, it's not possible, especially not in basketball when you have 340, 350 Division I teams that you're competing with. It's extremely hard to tell, and not just because you're looking at stats, you're looking at paper, you're saying, oh, the team added 12 points per game here and 8 rebounds per game there. There is a massive factor called cohesion that plays a part in it as well. And you can get a rotation of 8 guys together. If they don't like each other, the stats don't matter. So it is impossible to tell what anybody is going to be until you're in like January, February. Yeah.
I was talking to a Southern Miss fan. I want you to comment on his comment when he said, you know, sometimes it's hard to get into basketball knowing that no matter how good your team is, there's only going to be one team from the league that gets to go to the NCAA tournament. You know, and I said, well, what about football? I said, well, football, we have, you know, 10 or 11 Sun Belt teams can go to bowl games. You have a shot. But when there's only one opportunity to go to the dance, that does make it tough.
It does make it hard. So you have to build a consistent winner. And that's kind of the difficulty here in the Sun Belt. And you see teams that struggle with the fan engagement. Of course, I'll bring up Troy. They're, I think, the only Sun Belt team that's won, I think, 20 games, 4 straight years. Nobody goes to their games. Nobody cares. And so it doesn't really matter what you do. You have to win that last conference game that you play for anybody to care. So, yeah, it is really hard.
And especially with the way that the NIT has changed, you know, it's mm-hmm. injury because the NIT used to be fun to watch as well. But now that they're not guaranteeing winners conference champions who win in the regular season, it's just an at-large thing. You know, you're not even guaranteed to get any postseason, regardless of your finish.
Scott, we've seen all college sports affected by this unbelievable transferring situation, but it does seem to me that basketball seems to be taking it the worst right now because you just talk to so many. We talk to play-by-play guys from just about every conference team, and almost every team is virtually brand new. Year from year now. That can't be healthy for the sport.
No, it is really hard to kind of wrap your mind around and get a grip on, but that's the fact of the matter, and it's because of the very small rosters, and it's not just the players. You know, the coaches as well are behind the scenes. They want a certain thing. They want a certain rotation. If they go a season and this guy just doesn't fit, doesn't matter what he did during the year, out he goes. And so you're going to have mass changes every single year for a variety of reasons. And basketball is very small. 8-9-man rotations are just going to exasperate that issue because you're going to have guys just flying all over the place.
When you talk to fans, lots of times they'll say, I like parity in any sport. I don't like dynasties. So when you look at college basketball now, the Kansases, the North Carolinas, and the Dukes of the world, they're not running the table like they used to. So you would think, if indeed fans are correct by saying they enjoy parity, that the sport would be enjoying unparalleled popularity. But that does not seem to be the case, Scott. What say you?
It really, really depends. It depends on where you are in the sports world because the parity – at this point has only reached so far. We've seen it in football. There's not one or two teams that are controlling everything anymore. You know, you see Texas is suddenly here because finally their boosters have the control that they want. The trickle-down only goes so far in football. It's only going to go so far in basketball, and some teams are still going to have to catch lightning like that Florida Atlantic Final Four team. So, I mean, it's going to make a difference. It's going to produce more parity. And when it matters, you know, if you're a fan of a middling Sun Belt team, it is not going to matter to you at all until you are a neutral fan on March 27th watching some team you haven't seen play in 4 years in the Elite Eight, and suddenly you love college basketball again.
Right.
And that's when it comes up.
Yeah, because I was going to say that there was a game Saturday afternoon or morning. It was like number 4 Kentucky versus number 3 Tennessee or Florida, whoever it was. And, you know, on paper, that's a huge basketball game. And I was just like, I don't care. But if that game was being played in April or in March, like he's saying, oh, yeah, I want to watch it.
Yeah. Scott, we're going to ask you to hold over. We got a short break coming up and wanted to get your thoughts about football. But real quickly, about 45 seconds left, the big story in 2024 revolved around the Sun Belt Conference was what?
In football or basketball?
Well, overall, what was the biggest overall story that came out of the league in 2024, you think?
Shoot, why would you put me on a spot like that? my goodness. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to happen yet. It's not going to hit the Sun Belt just yet, but I think revenue sharing is going to have a huge trickle-down effect on the Sun Belt. You're starting to see it in a few different leagues here and there, but it's not blown up yet, but it will.
All right, well, I'm going to say the big story of 2024 was the newcomer of the league won the baseball championship for the second straight year. I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
And it'll only be topped when they win the third consecutive championship in 2025.
Do you want to go ahead and just tear off another one of your construction paper chains?
I've already done it.
Oh, it's getting shorter every day.
We're going to continue our conversation with Scott Watkins. Look back at the bowl season. How's the Sun Belt doing the bowls? And what was Sun Belt football like in 2024? We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better, faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart. CampusBookmart.net on Hardy Street. Great place to buy all your Southern Miss apparel. You can shop online, of course, CampusBookmart.net. Don't forget about Mobay Beignet Company, the official beignet store of the Eagle Hour, 2902 Hardy Street. I think Kelly's got something to say about Mobay Beignet.
I went there Saturday morning, in fact, Bob.
And good, wasn't it?
It was really good. And the two syrup of the month, it's a gravy, grandma's gravy, it's called, where it's like you would dip chicken if you like that sort of thing. And then the peppermint, which is seasonal. Well, I wouldn't like
gravy
it
on beignets?
Well,
I bet the peppermint was good.
Yeah, the peppermint.
Actually, I just went to the old favorites of the cinnamon and the buttercream.
Cooked it when you came in and ordered it, right?
They did, and there were some people playing some games there. And I'm telling you, it was packed. There were families there with kids, little dogs in there. It was great.
A wonderful place. Yeah. Mobay Beignet Company on Hardy Street. Now, let's get back to Scott Watkins. All right, the bowl season for the Sun Belt is over. Analyze how you think teams performed, and overall, what's your eval of the 2024 football season for the Sun Belt, Scott?
Yeah, I think bowl season is kind of a weird thing now, and it kind of goes back to some of the things we were talking about before. I used to be really big on the train that bowl games do matter, that they count when it comes to team versus team, conference versus conference. It's hard to justify now. It's hard to say with so many opt-outs and so many transfers. Look at Marshall. They couldn't even field a team. Everyone's playing with backups, so it's really hard to, like, even if you're blind checking scores, there's no way that you can evaluate how a team did versus a team. That being said, you know, somebody was 4-4. I thought the most impressive win was the opener, South Alabama over Western Michigan, because South did that with its starting quarterback out, with its starting running back out, starting wide receiver. I think they had a key leader on defense, also did not play, still won that game. Outside of that, really hard to gauge. Arkansas State's win was pretty good. They had a number of players there, and they were playing against the best tight end in the country. And Texas State just about got screwed out of a win, but they held on. And then overall, as far as the league goes, it was a lot of the same. I think the Sun Belt struggle is it cannot produce a team that stands above the rest because it's too beefy in the middle. And that was once again the case for the league, and it's something that they have just got to continue to work on as we move deeper into this 12-team format and into a 12-team format that promises to change the way it does seeding here very soon.
Yes, I'm going to tell you, I'm not that big on watching Power 4 or Power 5, whatever it is, football, generally speaking. But I do think, irregardless of some of the blowout games, and I'll throw it to you two guys here in the studio, this college playoff does open up more opportunities for different schools, and I just think that's a good thing for college football.
It does, but there's always going to be the decision as to who gets in and who gets out, and we've kind of alluded to this before. No matter how many spots you make, there's always going to be somebody mad thinking they deserve to be there.
Well, that would be the case if you had 20.
Correct. Correct. And I think that there's some tweaking that needs to be done. I think, you know, by Boise, like getting a 4 seed or whatever it was, I think what they need to do, I like the idea with the number of teams. I don't have a problem with that. But then reshuffle the deck reseed them once you decide who's in.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. One thing I do wish they do with the bowls, and I think this would help with some of the things that Scott's talking about, and I don't know how realistic this is, so just take this as just my wish, but I wish they would downsize the amount of bowls, like, significantly, making it a lot harder to get into a bowl in the first place, and have these non-Power 4 teams, such as Southern Miss and Marshall's, play the Power 4 teams in the bowl games. Because when you have Southern Miss playing Rice, or you have South Alabama playing Eastern Michigan, it's not as hyped up as Southern Miss playing Iowa State or, you know, Nebraska.
But a lot of those bigger schools would feel slighted. You know, like
I'm just saying, I just feel like that would make the opt-outs less on the group of five. But then you're right, it would make it more of on the Power 4 opt-outs significant. But I don't know. It's just something I wish that there was more incentive to watch the bowl games, because watching Southern Miss versus Rice isn't as appealing as watching Southern Miss versus Florida State.
And Scott, here's an issue, and this was brought to my attention by a friend of mine who's a big Ole Miss fan. You know, Ole Miss had a really fine football team. And, you know, they play in a New Year's Day or New Year, day after New
day
Year.
After.
So a spotlight bowl game. And they're playing a team that's playing its third-string quarterback, because the first-string quarterback, the second-string quarterback left the team to go somewhere else. And my friend expressed how disappointing that was as an Ole Miss fan. You know, they wanted to finish the year with a challenging, exciting opponent in a bowl game, and you just don't know anymore who that is.
Yeah, that goes back to what I was saying before. I mean, there's a lot of games now, a lot of postseason games that the way that I described it when I was, you know, talking, me and my dad were talking about this, they feel like preseason games. And that's, to me, basically what they are. They're an extra preseason game. It's almost like a spring game before the spring starts. You're throwing out guys that you're hoping to just get more experience heading into the next season. And that's what these bowl games are becoming. And it sucks to see, because these games used to be really hyped up. These games used to matter so much. You used to look forward to it. You used to travel for these. I have no incentive to travel to see anybody play a bowl game anymore.
Right.
Because it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
I agree with that completely. And it used to be fun. It used to be a cap at the
– Yeah.
Another problem I got, and all three of you guys can comment on it, is you see a 6-6 team in a bowl game and they lose – so now you've had a losing season and you've been rewarded with the bowl game, Scott.
But have you indeed been rewarded? Because I hear schools that say they lose money going to bowl games.
You know what I'm saying, though. I mean, in general,
yeah,
that's supposed to be
a treat.
A treat at the end of the season. But why are teams with losing records playing in bowl games, Scott?
We have a lot of bowl games. Now, I'm going to dissent to you and Dima. I mean, I love football. I've never been on the fence of we need to reduce bowl games. I love football. You know, the more football, the better. Even though it's a really watered-down product now, I don't necessarily agree that we should, you know, cut down on bowl games. Because when you get the 6 wins, that you want that extra game. Players do want that extra game. Whether or not the team makes money or not, the coaches want that added experience for their players. Some of them might want the added time to recruit, but that's going to be, you know, based on the situation that they have with their roster. But most of the time, these kids want one more game. The seniors want one more game. Go out, see what you've got, take advantage of the opportunity. I don't necessarily hate the idea that, you know, we have too many bowl games.
Well, with all due respect, sir, I think what you're saying has been accurate, but I think in the future, as evidenced by Marshall that you pointed to, I don't think a lot of these kids care anymore necessarily. Right. It's where's my next paycheck coming from?
This is an NCAA thing. Yeah. I know it's hard when it comes to enrollment and whatnot for that with that first transfer portal window. You got to fix that. You've got to change that in some way. It cannot open when conference championship games are being played.
Yeah. There's a lot that needs to be changed, I think, right now. I think that's something we can all agree. Hey, Scott, man, we appreciate you very much. Happy New Year. We look forward to having you back on the radio show throughout the year in 2025.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
All right, Scott Watkins, everybody, from the Biloxi. So here's another problem, guys. I read this morning. Second-string quarterback at Georgia has entered the portal. It'll be his third team in 3 years. So he's taking the NIL money at two schools when he didn't get his way at Georgia. He's entered the portal now to go to a third school in 3 years.
Well, how about the Manning kid at Texas who hardly has taken any snaps and $6.6 million? And the poor Manning family, they need that money because they don't know where their next meal's coming from.
I just wish that Peyton Manning could get back into doing TV commercials, don't you guys? I don't see enough of Peyton Manning.
Him and Kevin Hart and Shaq and, you know, everywhere you turn.
I will say that the Nick Saban VRBO commercial
is fantastic. That's
one of the best commercials.
He's really good. Nick Saban, who would have thought Nick Saban would be good at that?
I also like the Dr. Pepper Fansville commercials.
I think those are hilarious.
If I knew Nick Saban owned the place, I wouldn't rent it. I don't care how cheap it is. You don't want to get that guy on your downside. And I do want to congratulate Scott. In the interview today, Bob, he used the term screwed and sucks, which is hardly ever used.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much describing. I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say what.
Fill in the blanks, right?
I'm not going to say exactly what.
Hey, what if I wanted to get this show, if I couldn't listen to it live, where could I get a copy of it or whatever?
I think you could probably go to Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle. And Dima, if you chose to listen to the podcast tonight, what would you suggest you drink while listening to the ballgame?
I would suggest Indibay Spring Water.
And that's where would that come from, Dima?
It is Mississippi-owned and from Stone County.
And what kind of water is it?
Premium.
And it's got unmatched what?
Purity.
Freshness you can
taste.
Hydration you can
feel.
Your bottles won't
collapse.
But your thirst
will.
Boy, you guys are fantastic.
It's also available at Quarter Markets and select Walmarts.
Wow, you guys are good.
That was awesome, David.
Yeah. It's like he's been on a psychiatrist's couch before. You know, say the first word that comes to mind, right?
That's the best commercial read I think I've ever heard.
See, the sad thing is he's just getting good at this, and he's going to be leaving pretty quick, you know, pretty soon. So.
I'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, Scott Watkins, Biloxi Sun-Herald. Appreciate his time and his thoughts about the Sun Belt Conference athletics. This segment is sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill right there in the shadow of the Rock. It's a great place for lunch or dinner and a great place to catch the, well, for example, Thursday night when one of the national championship games is on. You know it's going to be on down there. You go get yourself a big shrimp poor boy and a couple of PBRs and have a good time watching football. 4th Street Bar and Grill. Also, I want to thank our good friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg. They're the official auto dealer of our program. Genesis sedans and SUVs are absolutely the finest luxury vehicles on the road today, as is their showroom. We appreciate all that Kevin and Mr. Grubbs does for Southern Miss Athletics and, of course, supporting our show. All right, let's get back to football. Dema Mixon, new defensive coordinator. And Dema, where by chance did this man come from?
I'll give you three guesses.
Marshall.
Oh,
that was there hard. We go.
All right, Jason Seymour was officially announced for the Southern Miss defensive coordinator coming from Marshall. His title is defensive coordinator and linebackers coach here at Southern Miss. So he's been at Marshall for the last two seasons, coaching under Coach Huff, and he actually helped oversee the league's player of the year in defense, defensive lineman Mike Green. And Mike Green enjoyed three defensive first-team all-conference performers along with Coach Seymour.
But you got to hand it to him, to come to Southern Miss with a last name like Seymour.
I know.
You know, it just seems like a perfect fit.
He's got a 15-year coaching career, and it's been at the collegiate level in D1, which was at Georgia Tech for a couple of years before going to Marshall, but then also some of the lower level of college football at Valdosta State, Montana, Colorado School of Mines, and Adams State. So some of those interesting colleges, and he's going to be bringing in a lot of his own players here at Southern Miss to coach the defense. And we did see, since that announcement, Elijah Sabatini announcing that he would not be back for the team this season. So don't know if that was some kind of conversation had, but he is going to go ahead and declare for the draft.
Now, he was pretty prominent, I thought, figure on the football team this year. Made a lot of plays. That's not good to hear. And two more new players coming in, Dema, is that correct?
Yes.
And where would they be from, Dema?
I'll give you one guess.
We didn't even guess, Bob.
Go ahead.
Marshall.
There we go. Marshall. What's that up to now?
Let's go to the tote board.
I'm pretty sure it's...
raising money for Jerry's kids. We're up to $2.8
million. Sabatini's in the transfer portal, by the way, not declaring for the draft. But I think that's up to 18 players.
18 from Marshall.
Yeah, 17.
And it might go higher. You know, look, and I know that some people are going, yeah, all the – but remember when Brian Vincent at Louisiana Monroe, you know, 85 new players on that team last year.
It's the new world, man. We live in.
Yeah, and they didn't finish very strong, the Warhawks, but they started out like gangbusters. So again, this is not going to be unusual.
According to Rivals, Southern Miss ranks number 9 in the transfer portal in the country with 27 players already transferred.
New players transferred here.
27. Yeah.
Does it show who's the top and how many players have transferred?
The top is LSU with 14. So I think that's based on overall prospects.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Not as far as – at least in the top 10, Southern Miss has the most.
Right. In the top 10.
Out of LSU, Ole Miss, Texas Tech State, Memphis, UCF, UCLA, Arkansas, Southern Miss, Missouri, Southern Miss has the most transfers, 27.
Well, it's just the new era. Man.
And – but with the success or lack thereof, shall we say, of the Southern Miss football program, look, you guys, a rebuild is in order.
Yes, and we all expected it. We all said it, that there's going to be a significant roster turnover. I just think that not a lot of people expected it to be from one single team.
Right.
Right, exactly right.
But again, you've got a proven winner. Yeah. They won the league last year. It's just I wonder if there's going to be this bonding between what has been a Marshall team, you know, coming to Hattiesburg, and we talked about this last week on the show. You know, Dema and the younger crowd says, yeah, just win, and we're with you. But as a little bit older guy, I like to, you know, get to know these guys before they're on to the next school.
Well, I agree. At least meet them before they transfer again. But Dema's right, ultimately. I mean, if they run out here and win the first six games, people won't care if they're from Mars.
I think the first game, if they go out and beat Mississippi State, nobody's going to be batting an eye.
Right. Well, that's a big if right there. I think that's a big if.
Well, if you're going to play State a team, really if you're going to play a team like Mississippi State, you want to play them the first game.
I would take it further. Yeah. If you want to play an SEC team, you probably want to play Mississippi State. With all due respect, I mean, at this point of their rebuild, right? I mean, at this point of their rebuild.
It used to be Vanderbilt, but you know the Commodores
look pretty good.
Yeah, they have.
Well, they have a million-dollar quarterback now.
Don't they all?
Yeah, no. I think they all do. All right, before we even worry about football, there's a lot of sports to play, and I'll even put off another couple of days talking about one particular sport. But Dima Mixon, what has to happen now? I mean, you didn't have two of your starting players on the floor Saturday when the men played and lost, but you got to get this together here pretty soon if you want to salvage this year. What's your observation? What has to happen to get this thing turned around?
Well, you got to start. You got to make sure you win at home. That's number one. But number two is you got to start figuring out a way to win on the road. I mean, you can't just lose every away game. I mean, that's just – you do that in basketball. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, so – and they don't have easy road games coming up. They're going to head down to Mobile next week to play the Jaguars. They're going to play on the road at San Marcos to play Texas State. I mean, after this weekend, they have a four-game road swing, which is at South Alabama, at Texas State, at Troy, at Louisiana. So they got to split those games at least to even have a chance to compete for a double bye in how the new tournament is seeded now. I mean, because, you know, if they continue on the track that they're going, they're going to be playing earlier in the week on the tournament and having to play more games to get to the final.
And the only game that they could possibly be favored in that road series that you just talked about would be Louisiana.
Yeah, but even them right now are looking good in the league. They're 2-1 in the league.
They did that once they did make the coaching change. They have gone 2-1.
But one thing, Kelly, they got to get Alvarez back on the floor. He just distributes, in my opinion, he just distributes the ball much better than the other point guard. And I just think he's a better team player, and I just think there's a big difference in the team when he's on the floor and not on the floor.
Yeah, he's had some hamstring issue, and hopefully, you know, this week the Eagles play Thursday night at home against Louisiana Monroe, which is, again, the Eagles are a different team at home than they are on the road. And so they should be favored to beat the Warhawks Thursday night. But then they've got the Texas State, the Bobcats, coming in. That should be an interesting game to see how that one shakes out, because if they don't hold serve at home, we know they have struggled on the road, and not just in conference. They have struggled mightily, no matter where they have been on the road. But some of the things that were happening early in the year, remember when they were digging themselves 19 to 25 point holes in the first half that they just overcome? That seems to have worked itself out. They are spreading the scoring around. For example, Curbelo had 19 points on Saturday. DeAnthony Gordon had 17, Kobe Montgomery had 11, and Christian Watson had 17. So I mean, they're spreading the ball around. It's just not, you know, translating into wins. There's really no other statistic that stands out that they're grossly underperforming or overperforming. It's just not translating into wins. And we all know that the bottom line is that's what you're judged on. And that's how you're going to get that one or two seed.
I really didn't think they played that bad on Saturday.
I agree.
And I think getting this season turned around quickly would be winning these two games this week. Go ahead and get that win against ULM, like Kelly is saying. And then Saturday, like you're saying, big game. Texas State at home, they're 8-7. To get that win, you'd move to...
That would get you within a game of 500.
Yeah, you get 8-9 before hitting the road at South Alabama, where you historically...
Well, we own them.
Well, you historically haven't done well against them, but, you know, just to compete well against them and then get into some of these other road games.
One of the things that the Eagles have going for them, you hate to say this because this is kind of a backhanded compliment, but the league is just not real strong. So, again, the NCAA is going to take one. So there isn't anybody that's just head and shoulders better than anybody else. I mean, Arkansas State even lost over the weekend. So there's a chance. You know, there's a chance. Yeah. But
whoever catches fire at the end, and that could be the Golden Eagles.
But because of the fact that they've got that four-game road stretch coming up, these next two are mightily important.
Pivotal.
Yeah.
Pivotal.
Yeah, I agree. 30 seconds left, Kelly. I know you're – Cincinnati Bengal football team didn't make the playoffs, but boy, they finished the year strong. And I think we got a pretty exciting playoff scenario setting up.
And leave it to the Kansas City Chiefs to be the ones to knock.
Yeah, but wasn't it fun watching them get beat 38-0 yesterday, the Chiefs?
Well, I mean, it wasn't.
I don't. I don't.
I mean, it really wasn't the Chiefs.
I have parental controls on my TV. I don't even allow anybody to watch the Chiefs on.
Well, I'm on board with Detroit. I want to see.
Yeah,
the,
man, they
Detroit
played well line. Against the Vikes last night, didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they look really.
And Aaron,
well, it'd be nice to watch the game.
Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator for the Lions, who used to be in New Orleans, is being rumored as the front runner to get the New Orleans Saints job.
I heard what you said about the game last night on local TV, and all I can say is thank God for Telemundo. That's what I ended up watching the second half of the football game. Well, Telemundo.
De La Chavega, De La Chavega, the touchdown Lions.
Or as my wife said, what in the heck? Or as my wife walked through the room and goes, what in the hell are you doing?
The future of American broadcasting, Spanish speaking play by play.
Note to local TV station, when the game of the year is on, we'd like to see it. We'll be right back.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans. TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, D-Bat sponsors this segment of the show. Luke Reynolds is the manager down there, former great baseball player. Had to throw that word in, baseball. It's about 5 weeks away. It's a great place to take your children for baseball and softball training. And Kelly is a longtime Little League baseball coach. Now would be the time to get the kids into batting cages.
Today is a perfect reason and a perfect example as to why you should get a membership
at
DBAT. You don't have to worry about it being 30 degrees. You know, when a kid hits the ball and they go, oh, my hand hurts because of the bat vibration because it's so cold outside. Temperature controlled, always real clean.
Right.
You know, and they wipe everything down in between the teams being in there. So, man, it's a really nice place.
And if you worked up a good sweat, Dima, at DBAT, how could you quench your thirst?
With IndaBay spring water.
There we go.
But I will say it's as fun as to go over there just as a natural guy wants to hit baseballs, too. Not even competing. I went over there 2 or 3 weeks ago just to hit baseballs in that fast little pitch thing that's shooting them out at 70 miles an hour or whatever it is. And it
did
was
you
fun.
Hit one?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
That fast little pitch thing.
Pitching machine.
Yeah, I like
it. It's been a long day.
How technical you are, Dima.
So. Kelly, have you ever been in the bat cage?
Not in a long time.
Yeah.
Not.
All right. Now that the holidays are over, and I failed to do this prior to the holidays, are you two still open for the Beignet Showdown 2?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Before he leaves town.
How about you? Are you up?
I'm always up for it. I was, like I said, I was there Saturday.
Let me see.
I don't want the gravy on it, though.
No. Let me see if I can't set that up. This is straight beignet eating now. All the beignets. Who can eat the most beignets in 8 minutes?
Well, those are the only beignets you like, are the straight ones, you know. So
I'm probably gonna lose.
No, he got his
he's already
kicked by Luke Johnson. It wasn't even close.
And, you know, Bob, we talked these NFL playoffs. Kansas City, you know, the number one seed in the AFC. The Kansas City Chiefs. The only thing the Chiefs have going for them, in my book, is Swayze Bozeman. You know, the former.
He played yesterday.
Yeah, got
sure
called
did.
Up and getting some
Swayze
playing time.
Bozeman.
Such a decent young man. Yes. You know, it's good to see.
Overcame two knee injuries, if I'm not mistaken. Who would have thought, to be honest with you, and I'm thrilled for it. Who would have thought Swayze Bozeman would have made the Kansas City Chiefs roster? Now, come on.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah. Well, I would have, just because that's in his fiber. I mean, that's what makes that guy so good, is that he's good at proving people wrong.
Right.
You know? And look, I have to, you know, be honest. I don't think a lot of the rest of the country's even going to be cheering for Kansas City. I think, Bob, you've got a seat on that Detroit Lion bandwagon now.
Yeah, I'd like
the Commanders are in it.
Yeah. Now, what if
they're in the playoffs?
What if they change it back to the Redskins, though?
Then I'd be right back on board.
Okay. All right.
But
it's
that's
all
not going to happen.
I've heard that there's some petitions floating around.
They have had a great year. That kid from LSU is a phenom.
Yeah, he was.
If really he's good. Not the rookie of the year, they need to quit. They need to quit having that award. That kid's really, really good. Really, really. Who you like, guys? Who you like? I just think somebody's got to show me they can go to Detroit and beat the Lions. And I hate to say this, but somebody's got to show me they can go to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs.
Yep. I think we're in for a Detroit-Kansas City Super Bowl. Yeah.
You know what?
Baltimore, to me, is the only other.
No,
the Bills are pretty decent.
That's what I was going to say. I think maybe this is the Bills' year.
They got to go to Kansas City, though.
They would.
Somebody's going to have to go to Kansas City.
But, I mean, the Bengals did it. So.
And beat the Chiefs and the refs and the NFL, you know, when you go to Kansas City. So.
I think if there's a team, though, that could do it, on a given day, it would have to be the Ravens. The Ravens are a handful when they're playing well.
And you have to, you know, because Coach Monken is there. You know, you're pulling for that. I will be really interested to see where his name pops up, and because he has earned the right to be selective, right? The Jaguars now have an opening. This is Black Monday in the NFL. A lot of coaches, assistant coaches being fired. Peterson out the door at Jacksonville. Now, Brian Daboll with the Giants has been retained. Which
surprisingly.
Which a lot of people thought that he was going to get the heave-ho. But there's a lot of different coaches' openings. But you haven't really heard Todd Monken's name.
Well, here's the big one in the last minute we have left, guys. And that'll be what happens with America's team, with the Dallas Cowboys. Are they going to make a coaching change? I'm going to say no. I don't think they are.
I don't think they are.
I don't think they are either.
I think they've already done it.
I don't think they should, actually. You know, I think the problem with the Dallas Cowboys,
I know what you're going to
is
say,
that they have a mediocre quarterback. I really believe that.
It's just because he went to Mississippi State?
No, that he's, you know, he just doesn't ever produce, you know. I mean, he's look at the kid in Los Angeles with the Chargers. I mean, there's a young kid that is carrying a team, basically. But Dak Prescott has just never done that for the Cowboys. And he's been on some pretty talented football teams.
Yeah. Well, Joe Burrow, you know, carried the Bengals
this
year.
There's another great example. That's the kind of quarterback. If Joe Burrow was playing for the Dallas Cowboys, do you not think they'd be a perennial?
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Bo Nix taking the Broncos to the playoffs.
Yeah,
he really looks good, doesn't he?
I think they have a chance to beat who are they playing? The Eagles? Or who are the Broncos playing?
The
Bills. They're playing the Bills.
They go to Buffalo,
That wouldn't be easy.
The Bills are either really good or not so good
exactly.
on certain days, you know. So, anyway, we'll see. A lot of football this week between that and the college games as well, man. A lot of reason to be in front of the two.
We're going to have one of our Eagle basketball coaches on tomorrow, Bob.
What is that you're doing over there?
It's like an O and an H. I don't know what it means.
Ohio State.
Ohio.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be disappointed when Penn State puts them out, you know.
I don't think
James Franklin.
Happen. I think you're looking at Ohio State and
Notre Dame.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Until then, Southern Miss
to the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.